Chapter 2. The next day, 4:45 p.m.
"Guards here,"
Abby said, glancing through the Uptown Dietitian Center's front door. A tall, middle-aged Caucasian man in a baggy, familiar-looking black security company nylon jacket and matching cap stepped from a white van and walked confidently toward the front double doors. He made brief eye contact with both Abby and Belinda, the two dietitians on duty now, through the windowed doors and touched the brim of his cap. Handsome guy, Abby thought, at least from what she could tell from her brief glance at him. Dark blonde hair peeking below the back of his cap and a well-trimmed mustache. Before she could get a better look at him, he turned to face the parking lot. A radio sat clipped to one side of his belt, a holstered pistol on the other.
"Another new guy," said Belinda with a sigh. "I really liked the last one."
"Me too,"
Abby said.
"But at least they finally sent someone who could actually protect us if he had to. The last guy was sweet, but he was two steps away from an assisted living facility."
She glanced up at the clock on the waiting room wall before tapping Belinda on the shoulder.
"Go ahead and get out of here. No reason to be late picking up Riley."
Belinda hesitated.
"Are you sure? You know what Valerie said."
"I know, but it's a silly rule. Besides, the guard's here."
Belinda looked out the doors at him. He was a picture of protectiveness. Solid build, assured stance, hands on hips.
"True, and Riley just texted me that practice is ending early today, so getting a head start would help. Still, are you sure?"
"Yep,"
Abby said, waving her away.
"You'd better get to the field while all those hot soccer dads are still there."
They both laughed.
"Okay, I'll run then,"
Belinda said, scooting her chair out and shouldering her purse strap.
"There is a cute guy I've noticed lately. A lawyer, I think."
"Married?"
"Unfortunately,"
Belinda said, rolling her eyes.
"All the good ones are. Oh well, see you tomorrow."
She logged out of her computer, made her way through the waiting room, then pushed her way out the front door. After saying something to the guard, she climbed into her blue Corolla and pulled out of the parking lot before disappearing down the street. Alone in the clinic now, but feeling an increased measure of safety, Abby began her closing procedures without worry. Due to the PK abductions over the past 7 months, the clinic's owner had hired a part-time security guard to cover the openers and closers. She'd also insisted on those procedures going from the normal one employee to two, which was not to be diverted from under any circumstances. If she found out Abby had broken the rule and decided to close by herself, she'd be upset for sure. But Valerie was a fair woman, one who had clawed and scratched her way to owning her own business without her businessman husband's help. Abby figured she'd understand, especially since the rule had been broken on account of Belinda's difficult situation being a single parent. Valerie had been one herself. It didn't hurt that Abby was well known to be Valerie's favorite and most experienced dietitian on staff. At precisely 5 p.m., with the office still empty, Abby finished the last of her closing duties and logged out of her computer terminal. Turning out the lights, she grabbed her purse and armed the security system on the wall-mounted unit. She had just stepped outside to lock up when the guard's voice came from behind her.
"Excuse me, ma'am. Is there any way I can use your bathroom? I should have gone before I got here, and it'll be a bit till I get to my next assignment."
She turned to face the man who stood several feet away, shifting from foot to foot.
"Oh, sure, of course. I always need to go the minute I get in the car, so I'm familiar."
She opened the door and held it for him. "You're an angel," the guard said. He smiled appreciatively, deep dimples appearing in both cheeks, then slipped into the clinic's unisex bathroom. Abby disarmed the alarm before the 30-second timer ran out, then waited patiently for him to finish, listening to the sound of him flushing the toilet. As she did so, she glanced through the front door and noticed a man in a baggy sweatshirt and ball cap pulled down over his face at the far end of the parking lot. He appeared homeless or working on it. This area of Uptown had its fair share of folks who were homeless, she knew, so she didn't sense any danger, even when he glanced toward the clinic's front door. But when he began walking in that direction, cutting directly through the parking lot and straight toward the clinic, Abby almost went to lock the door. But the sound of the running sink, followed by the familiar whap of paper towels being pulled from the dispenser, echoed through the empty waiting room. The guard would be out any second, she figured, and the man walking toward the clinic was still 20 yards away. Sure enough, a moment later, the guard exited the restroom, a look of great relief on his face. "Phew, you saved me from finding a gas station," he said, refastening his gun belt. "The last one I used was a germaphobe's nightmare."
"No problem," Abby said with a laugh. "I'd probably rather go in the bushes than use most gas stations, so I get it."
She glanced back out the front door and was glad to see that the strange man had disappeared, probably to bed down in the alley behind the clinic, she thought, or rummage through the trash. As she turned to begin rearming the security code, she detected sudden movement behind her. Not the guard beginning his path toward the front door as she'd assumed he'd do, but seeming to close the distance toward her. Animal instinct caused the hairs on the back of her neck to rise a split second before she began to spin to face him. But before she finished her rotation, the guard slipped his left arm around her neck, yanking her backward into his bulky torso. At first, she believed he must be playing a joke on her. "Ha-ha, scared you, didn't I?" But of course, that was ludicrous. He was the guard, for God's sake, the last person who would invade a woman's personal space in such a way. A half second after that thought raced through her mind, realization kicked in and she bucked her body hard against his. But he was too strong, and with a squeeze of his arm around her neck, he cut off her air supply. Eyes bulging, Abby clawed and scratched in vain at the guard's arm. She twisted her body hard and scissor-kicked her legs in a desperate attempt to gain enough space to breathe, but his arm was tightening across her throat even more now. She'd been without air for about 5 seconds, but it felt like 5 minutes. Her lungs instantly began to burn and tiny black dots pinpricked her vision. Then, a sudden thought. If she could get to his eyes with her right hand, she might have a chance. She reached up and began to scratch at his face when she felt a moist cloth clamp down over her nose and mouth. As she struggled, a crazy thought struck her oxygen-deprived brain, that he felt bad for what he was doing to her and had decided to clean her makeup-smeared face. As Abby's eyelids fluttered and with her brain beginning to prepare for unconsciousness, the guard released enough pressure around her neck for her to breathe. Immediately, she heaved in a wheezing breath through the cloth. The black dots in her vision disappeared, if only for a moment, and for one amazing second her mind conjured an even better scenario. He was going to let her go. He'd realized his mistake and would even call the police on himself. "Sorry for choking you like that. I don't know what came over me." She inhaled again through the cloth, and just as her brain decided that thought too was ridiculous, she realized what he was doing. She tried to scream but couldn't. Her throat was too damaged. She moved her lips uselessly, only the hoarse whispered words, "Help me," escaping them. And as the sweet chemical odor on the cloth finally registered to her senses, it all came together in a flash. She was about to become PK's 25th victim. This knowledge caused her to kick even more wildly. She gained a partial foothold on the wall and pushed off, spinning them both to the right. He corrected for it, though, and spun her back toward the wall, pinning her against it face first. He pressed his shoulder into her back while keeping one arm tight around her neck, but giving her just enough room to breathe. She wheezed again, fighting to keep her fluttering eyelids from snapping closed. She was fading fast. The black dots reappeared in her vision, even larger now. Her throat made a low, guttural sound that reminded her of the gravely wounded deer she'd stumbled across in the woods near her grandparents' farm when she was 12. It had been shot with an arrow and was too weak to run when she approached to try to help it. She was the deer now. Like a light switch inside her head flipping off, her eyelids fluttered once more before they slammed shut, and her world went suddenly black.